are just a blessing. Yes. Amen. Yes, thanks, brother. And they are just, they are so rich with doctrine and praise, and they are just, they're just wonderful. And I think the problem is it's a bunch of years old. They become dull, or that's the excuse some people use. Well, they're hundreds of years old, you know, and that kind of a thing. Well, God used them way back then, and he still uses them now. All right, let's see. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we're going to get into 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm just going to start off with a verse, a couple verses over here, as we are going to finish up this lesson tonight. While we're turning there, let's remember to be praying for Virginia. This friend of hers, she brought her up this morning. I think her name was Angela. She did pass away. She passed away while we were in church this morning. She was at hospice. As far as salvation, I don't remember exactly what Virginia said, if she was saved or not. But pray for, you know, how this all plays out. Family relations, you know, relatives that maybe through this somebody will get the gospel. You know, Virginia's, boy, she's right on there with wanting to give the gospel to people and being a great witness. So I know that she's praying about that. So pray for her, because this was hard on her as well. Okay, so in Ephesians, by the way, let's see, if you need these outlines, as we're finishing up tonight, I'm going to be hitting the point 4 and 5 tonight, the last of it. And Brother Jay has some over there by the sound booth. If you need one, just raise your hand, and we'll go ahead and get those out to you. So these verses here in Ephesians chapter 4 are, this just lines up so well. I haven't used them up to this point, but as we finish up tonight, in Ephesians chapter 4, the Lord, you know, the Lord established the church. The Lord died for the church. He died for every person who's ever lived, but those who have come to know him as Savior, they're part of the church, part of the body of Christ. And in verse 11 and 12 says that he's given gifts to the church. He's given teachers and evangelists and pastors, and they are for the perfecting of the saints. I'll just read verse 11 and start off there. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting, you know, for the completing, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And what is the hope of all that? It's to be realized in verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Again, that doesn't mean sinless. It means complete. It means fully developed, so that we would become unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we would become Christ-like. We're never going to become, you know, to that level. He's God. He's perfect. But what he wants us to become like him, so people can see Christ in us. Now, the contrast to that, that if we don't see this, is in verse 14. And it says this, that we henceforth be no more children. Because we don't want to stay little children in the things of the Lord. We don't want to be immature in the things of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So the idea is that as we yield to the word of God, as we receive it in our lives, and we begin to become more like Christ, and we begin to be more complete and unto a perfect man. And so now we go to 1 Thessalonians, because that's exactly what this passage is talking about. This passage, that as we yield to it and we obey it and submit to it, we'll begin to see Christ being formed in us. You know, we're supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ. I believe that's Romans 8:29. And we're, you know, people need to see the Lord Jesus in us. They don't need to see us, but they need to see Christ in us. And that's what this passage is all about, that we've been going over these last several weeks. So we're down to the last few verses, and we'll finish that up tonight. What this message is, it's really discernment for life's choices. But verse number 4 on that little outline sheet that I gave you says, always look unto God for discernment for life's choices, because this is where God wants to give every one of us discernment, the ability to be able to see right from wrong, to be able to make right choices. And that's what we're going to take a look at here tonight. So with that, let's pray, and then we'll look at this last portion of Scripture. Father, we thank you tonight. We're grateful to be able to come together. Lord, thank you that we can sing unto you. Thank you for the opportunities that we have to fellowship with one another. Thank you for this morning service, the Sunday school, the morning service, the visitors that we've had, and what a blessing it is to be here. So we just thank you for, again, this great opportunity to come to church, to have the freedoms that we have, again, to enjoy each other's fellowship, but we look forward to the fellowship tonight. We ask that you'll bless this time as we look in your word in these few verses, that you would speak through me. We pray that you would be able to do your work in our hearts and lives. We want Christ to be lifted up, and we pray, Lord, that you'll do your work address each and every need that's here tonight. So we praise and thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And by the way, it's good to have Kay back. Kay visited this morning, so good to have you back here tonight. All right. So let me just go ahead and go through this passage again. And you know, the passage, I started it at verse 14. It's actually even 11, 12, and 13 really could be included in this. But I started at 14. That's where I'll go with tonight. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all men, and to all men. That's just talking about treating people the way that Christ would. Not always easy to do some of these things, trying to deal with somebody that's unruly, trying to be patient with people. People have to be patient with us, but we're called on to be patient. We're called on to help those that are weak or feeble-minded. And then, of course, not rendering evil for evil unto any man. That's not an easy thing to do because our flesh wants to get in the way. Someone does you dirt, someone does me dirt, then our flesh wants to get back, don't we? And we've got to pull the reins on that and ask the Lord to help us to do what he's called us to do. And then the second point that I brought out is to position yourself for God to continually bless. And this really comes in regard to the attitude that we're to have. And that's 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice evermore. Boy, does that not lay it out clearly? The Lord doesn't say except. Okay, there's a clause here. Okay, there are some exceptions. You've had a bad day. You can go have your pity parties, and you can go ahead and just vent on anybody you want to. No, the Lord doesn't do that. He says rejoice evermore. And then he says pray without ceasing. So that means, again, he's covering all the bases. Pray about everything. Pray without ceasing. And then in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, if we do our best to try to get those verses down, we're just going to go around with a great disposition. We're just going to have a happy smile on our face because we're just learning to rejoice. You know, maybe we don't rejoice 100% of the time, but boy, if we could rejoice at a high percentage and we struggle a little, but we go right back to, we would be doing well. Amen? Do you agree with me? I'm wondering if you didn't agree with me on that one. Okay. So then that's part of our attitude. And then these two things are so important, verses 19 and 20, about not hindering the avenues that God works through. And it's through this what the Spirit of God does. First of all, by not quenching, quench not the Spirit. Let's not throw water on what the Spirit of God is doing in our hearts and lives, because it's easy for us to do that when we don't yield to the Lord and we don't allow him to direct us through just allowing sin in our life. That's grievous to the Holy Spirit. That begins to quench what the Spirit of God is wanting to do in our hearts and lives. He's the one that lives in us. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And so let's not quench what he is wanting to do as he leads and guides you, as he shows you things from his word. Let's accept it as he, and then, you know, a big part of that is despise not prophesyings, which is don't despise prophesyings or preachings. Don't despise preaching, because the Spirit of God works through preaching. And we want to allow him to do the work that he wants to do. And many times we're confronted with something about ourselves that we don't want to see. You know, there's certain things we don't want to see in the mirror. You know, that's why we bought mirrors from a fun house, you know, and then I put them in my house because I don't like what the real one shows me anymore. I need a little, I'm joking. But you know what, we sometimes are like, I don't want to see that. And we don't want to hear that. And if we do that with the Lord, then we can begin to despise prophesying because something that hits right at home, we go, I don't want to hear that, and we just shut it off. And that's not good. It's good for us to be open. Let the Lord do what he wants to do in our lives. Now, tonight, we'll take a look at some discernment verses that, again, as we yield to the Lord, it's just good for us to let him help us to have discernment and wisdom in the decisions that we make. So we look at verses 21 and 22, and then 23 is the result of us obeying all of this whole passage of Scripture. So 21 and 22 says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil. So we got these three things here tonight, and if we follow this passage as a whole, then I really believe that the title of this message is fitting. God's formula for experiencing his fullest blessings will take place. So let's take a look at these last two verses. We see here, prove all things. That means to test all things, to prove something. Test it out. Search things out. You know, it's good for us to allow the Lord, to make it easier for the Lord to help us to prove things out by us taking those steps. By us learning to be observant, it's good. Now, you might naturally be, I just choose to be, unobservant or oblivious, And you know what? There might be times when that's convenient and helpful, but it's not good for the most part for us to be oblivious. It's good for us to see things. It's good for us to, to look at things critically. Now, I don't mean in a critical way, but we look at things and dissect it and study things out. That's a good thing because God wants us to be able to have that ability to do that. Now, ultimately, we have to look to the Lord because even in our human level, we're not going to be able to cover everything, and nor should we try to trust that. Sometimes we think, I know what that person's up to. And we really don't know that because we can't look in the heart and know exactly. That person might look like they're up to no good, and all they meant to do is, and when the end of the story comes, they were just up to actually to do something good. But their body language spoke to the contrary. Maybe we've done that. We've looked at somebody and said, oh, no, keep an eye on that person, and we were wrong. We were wrong in our judgment. So we got to be careful with that. And sometimes when we go down that road, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me. I'm already starting to put that person in a category. I'm already starting to get a judgment on that person. And help me because I could be so wrong. So help me to trust you. And it's important for us to do that. So it's good when we do this because it helps. It just makes it easier for the Lord to develop this in us. And boy, we need discernment, don't we? We need discernment. I remember hearing a song by the Coast. They had this is a group back in the 60s. And they had a song, and they were trying to give some discernment for young men in finding a wife. And they said in this wonderfully, as far as counsel in this song, it says, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So from my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you. I'm being silly, but that's, that was just their version of discernment, Listen, think about it. There's a lot of want for discernment. Babies are not discerning, right? Would you agree with that? When you go into the nursery, it's, it is in hand and then in mouth, okay? Now, some of us are still operating at that level 40 years later. That's not good, all right? In hand, in mouth, there's like, no discernment at all here. But that's what a little baby does. But that's, hey, they've got an excuse. They're just babies. Now, toddlers aren't much better. It's fingers in electric sockets. I told our kids, you see that? Don't put it. And then one day I saw Nathan with a, paperclip. And there he was going like, I don't remember if he got zapped or what, but it's like, son, no, we told you not to do that. You know what's going to happen? And I think he ended up getting shocked when he figured it out. So toddlers don't have a whole lot more discernment. And teenagers, I've watched teenagers driving by a Maverick, and I see these teenagers, and they're on break from school when they have school. and they are coming out of a Maverick, and they've got a 2-liter Mountain Dew in one hand and a big bag of, you know, nacho cheese Doritos in the other hand. I'm saying that's not a whole lot of discernment there. You agree? All right, so really in all aspects of life, we make choices. And how good are we at doing that? Right? We want to make good choices. We go to the grocery store and we read labels and we think, oh yeah, monosodium glutamate, red dye number 40, guar gum. Sounds good to me. Into the basket. Yeah, we're going to take that along for the ride, right? But, and you know, we read labels, we squeeze produce, check it out. Sometimes I think that that's just a gimmick. You know, you think ladies are, you know, feeling those watermelons and all that. It's like, yeah, just put it in the basket. We, you know, what are you doing? And, you know, buying a house, we look it over, we look at the floor plan. You want to see, you know, improvements that have to be made. Maybe you want to check the neighborhood out. You look at the location, you look at the price. Now, why do we do that? Well, you want to be discerning, right? You want to make a good decision. You guys are all tracking with me, right? Yeah, so it's important that we would prove all things. So in a similar manner, we should be very observant about spiritual things, about our decisions in our spiritual walk for Christ. You know, Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, good verses to write down. I'll read those verses. The Apostle Paul wrote to this church at Philippi, and he said, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." You know, the love that you have for serving the Lord, the love that you have for Him, it may it abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. And then he says in verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent. In other words, that you would, you know, if something comes along in your life, you'd be able to see it and go, I approve of that. That is Christ approval. You know, that should be Christ approved. I want that in my life. So it says that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So it's important that we would make the right decisions in our spiritual walk. It's important to do the right things, and we have to make a lot of decisions. We should pray like Solomon did in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9 when he said, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad." Now, we heard about Solomon this morning as Brother Gary did a great job in bringing forth, as he's heading into showing us some things out of Proverbs, that Solomon was off to a great start. He had a big slide later, and he just went down a wrong road. But his prayer unto God was genuine, and God blessed him for that, because he wanted discernment as far as being a ruler. He looked at himself as being a young man, and he needed the Lord to help him with choices. But folks, we need that in our life. It's important. You might be here tonight. You're not married yet. And, you know, it's important that you would look unto the Lord for discernment as far as a marriage choice, as far as a partner. Amen? Yeah, you don't want to just take anything that comes along or, he's just so cute. He's just so cute. Well, okay, does the guy work? Okay. Yeah, down the line, that cuteness wears off when he's just like sitting on the couch gaming all day long. Okay, that ain't gonna fly. So marriage choices. Proverbs 12 and verse 4 says, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." That don't sound good. Is rottenness in his bones, but a virtuous woman. And so, gals, you want to look for the right man, and men, you want to look for the right gal. And that's important. Don't just look at the exterior. That's a good thing. I mean, it's nice to have a pretty spouse, a handsome spouse, but boy, it goes a lot further than that, because that wears thin over time. And then how about having some prove all things in regards to friends and associates, about who you hang around with, because they're going to affect you. They're going to have an influence on you. Yes, we're to try to reach all people, and we're not to ward ourselves off from anybody. We want to be open with all people and to have an opportunity to try to influence them or witness to them for Christ, but you got to be careful who you become close with, because that can affect you just greatly. I mean, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." Yeah, you know what that's saying. It's evil communications. If you're in a situation where this is just not a good situation, you remember Jehoshaphat? Jehoshaphat was a good king, but he kept making the bad decisions of getting too closely associated with the kings of Israel. He was a king of Judah, good man, but he kept wanting to get involved with Ahab. And then Ahab's son, Jehoram, or I can't remember who that was, his name, but he ended up getting involved in their lives, and it kind of cost him. You know that it was, and it wouldn't have happened if he hadn't have spent too much time around Ahab. So we got to be careful of that. So that's something that we want God to give us discernment. The will of God, having discernment for the will of God. For Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9 is a great verse, and I didn't write it down, and it's not coming right to my head, so I'll just turn over there real quick. And Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9 says this, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Knowing the will of God will take some discernment, and the Lord will give us discernment if we truly look unto him for that. Job transfers. You know, if you're going to switch jobs, look unto the Lord for discernment. Amen? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Career choices, the things that we watch on TV, things that we listen to on the radio, things that we think about. There are so many things that we're to prove and we're to check out. And so the prove all things stage is huge. It is so important, because if you and I will do well here, then we will set ourselves up very well. We'll put ourselves in a good position. Now, then, because you'll be able to see things clearly. You and I will be able to see things clearly. And, of course, all of this with God's help. God helps us with that, all of that, of course. Now, so the next step is to hold fast that which is good. So it's important to get that first step down of proving all things, testing things out, asking the Lord to give us wisdom. Listen, that's going to face us all throughout the whole week. You look at something, you don't really know what you have here, and you just pray and say, "Lord, give me wisdom about what this is. Help me to be able to prove this thing out." Well, now this next thing is to hold fast that which is good. To hold something fast means to hold on to it tight. This morning I spoke about things that we're to not let slip. We're to take earnest heed and to the things that God's given to us with this great salvation that we had. And don't let things slip away that you and I need to hold on to. So that's exactly what we're looking at here. Hold fast that which is good. Again, this is true even in the most common of things. You remember, for those of you guys that when way back in the day, when we played baseball, you go play, you know, maybe sandlot baseball, or if you ever played Little League or whatever level you might have played, back with those wooden bats, you would see the guy take the barrel, he would turn the bat around, grab a hold of the barrel, and then tap the handle part and the knob onto the plate. You know what he was doing? You know why we did it? Any idea? You wanted to listen to hear if there was a rattle. If there was some vibration, what did that tell you? That there's a broken bat. Yeah, there's a crack in the bat. It's not sound. And so, boy, we have no baseball players here. Boy, we have to get you guys up to speed. Yeah. So tapping that bat. Now, you can't really do that with an aluminum bat, okay? Somebody does that with an aluminum bat, you're like, wait a second, buddy. That just doesn't work. It's a wooden bat. You want to make sure that it's not cracked. So you do that with a baseball bat. You're buying a recliner. You want to hold fast that which is good. You check it out, right? You want to make sure that recliner does what you want it to do. Should be a lot of amens there. Amen. I like my recliner. How about choosing a picnic area in a park? I mean, that takes a little discernment. You tell your kids, okay, run over there and look for a table. And, you know, they go, hey, looks like a great one under the shade. And they come back, we found one. Okay, does everything look good? Everything looks great. It's even got a big anthill under the table, you know. That's why nobody's over there, okay? That's not a good idea. We don't want to be at that one, all right? It's having some discernment, you know, and making the right choices. You want to hold fast to it when you make the right choice. You want to lock in, and you want to be committed to that. And so holding fast that which is good. This is the kind of approach and strategy that we've got to take in order to see success in our lives as believers, that we would hold fast that which is good. Isaiah chapter 30 and verses 20 and 21, and it says this, and though the, I'm going to turn to it because I can't even read my own writing on this one here on my page. So in Isaiah, and you might turn to it, in Isaiah chapter 30, okay, Isaiah chapter 30, verses 20 and 21 says this, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers and thine ears. This is when the Lord is giving us discernment. This is what this verse is talking about. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, and this is the Lord speaking, because this is an individual that has inclined their ear and their heart to the things of the Lord. And the Lord speaks and directs. And it says, thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. So that's just the Lord, through his Spirit, giving direction. You know, I really have no doubt that as we'll just yield to the Lord and walk with him and talk with him, that as we go along, the Lord, you know, will many times, you know, I can think of some examples in my life where, you know, you just had a sense of, I don't think I'm supposed to go that way. I don't think that I'm supposed to go down that road, or I don't think I'm supposed to make that decision. And then you find out that would have been a catastrophe. There may have been some wreck or something that was down that road, or the decision you were looking at making, wow, I'm glad I didn't make that decision. And, you know, you just have to give that to the Lord, that the Lord gave you a sense about don't do it, and you just had an uneasy feeling. The Lord is good about doing that. He's not obligated to do that in our lives. But he is, in his graciousness, so often just protects us and keeps us safe from, there's times when I was ready to just shoot out on an intersection and stopped, and then, boom, a car just went by. Or things like that have happened. And how good is the Lord that the Lord said, nope, I'm not going to bring you home today. I'll protect you. And so that's a great verse right there. But the Lord leads us and guides us. Now, unfortunately, listen, we as believers, we fall short, but there are a lot of believers that just have a no-strategy approach to this. Hebrews chapter 5, that's a good passage to go ahead and turn to. Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 12 through 14. And the writer here, again, probably the Apostle Paul, but it doesn't really matter who wrote the book of Hebrews. The author, through the Lord's direction, is writing to these believers, these Jewish believers. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, and you can see where he's going with this. He says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you should be teaching others. But apparently, they hadn't come that far. They were still more in their infancy with their Christianity, where they were as believers. So he says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. So what is that saying? You're still sitting down in elementary school when you should actually be teaching this class. You haven't gone anywhere. And he says this, when you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. You need to have somebody teach you the fundamental, foundational things of God when you should be teaching them. And he says, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You're in a place where you just need milk because you're still a baby and you can't even handle strong meat. And so he says here in verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Again, with growth comes discernment. And that happens as we, again, yield to the Lord on a daily basis, as we get into his word, as we, you know, you think of the word disciples, as we discipline ourselves to be in the word, to keep our mind and our thoughts on him through the day, to be faithful to the things that he's called us to do, to be a witness, to be a blessing, to be these things that we're reading here in this passage. And so as we do that, then God will bless. So the question is, what must we do? Have a plan for good. Start to introduce some good godly routines into your life, some good habits. Maybe that's something that somebody needs to do here. Maybe you haven't started some good devotions in the morning. Just getting up, starting off your day with devotions, getting in the Word of God, having a time of prayer. Find what ones are good and hold fast to them. Whatever habits that get into your life that you know are good habits. Trying to memorize some scripture, things that I've brought up in the last several weeks. Get ideas from other people. But again, it might be morning devotions. It might be Bible reading. It might be family devotions with you and your kids. Again, Bible memorization, giving out tracts. You know, having a strategy that when something comes into your life that's negative, you know, have a plan. You know, when bad news comes, when your mother-in-law is going to stay for 3 weeks, count to 10, all right, before you react. Have a little bit of wisdom with all that. So it's just, you know, proving all things and then holding fast that which is good. So in like manner, after that you and I have proved something and then it doesn't measure up, then we take a look at this last thing. So we see here in verses 21 and 22, 21, of course, is prove all things and hold fast that which is good. And then 22 is abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. It might be something that is not necessarily an evil thing, but if it has the appearance of evil, then stay away from it. You know, I've talked to folks about before they got married, they said, well, we're looking at, you know, living together in the same house, but we're not going to come together. We don't want to be intimate. I said, well, okay, that's great that you've made that plan, but how does that look? How does that look? You might do the right thing, but you think people are really going to believe that? Right? And so I said, that falls in the category of abstaining from all appearance of evil. So here is the other part of, again, prove all things stage. Once you've proved and tested and discerned something and come to a conclusion what is good and what is not, then it puts you into a position to make a decision. And having prudence, having discernment. It says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. A prudent man sees, oh, that's evil coming. So he hides himself and protects himself from evil. But then it says, but the simple just pass on and are punished. A simple person, he just sees, you know, he doesn't even discern that that's evil. And he just goes and walks and he ends up being punished. He ends up suffering the consequences from that because he doesn't have discernment. But the Bible says a prudent man or a wise man will see that and go, that's not good. I don't want to have any involvement with that. I'll hide myself. I'll look unto the Lord for protection. I won't go down that road. That is having some discernment that the Lord wants us to have. Now understand this as a qualifier. There are some things, again, that kind of, you know, that fall into a neutral category. I mean, things that, you know, it could be, you know, I mean, some people look at certain things, they go, oh, that's just not good. I knew a guy that he just wouldn't play golf anymore. And he said, no, for me, golf's a sin. And for a lot of people, it's golf. Yeah, it's a sin because of how bad most of us play. And it just takes us down a road of a lot of bad thoughts and maybe some words that could come out. But this fellow was a good golfer. He was a scratch golfer. And we asked him about it. Why? And he said, well, because before I got saved, I played a lot of golf. And I played golf for, you know, a lot of betting. And there was all that involved. And he said, now that I've gotten saved and I really want to walk with the Lord, if I go back there, it takes me down a road that I don't want to go down. It's a simple game of golf, which is fine for 99% of people. But he said, for me, it just takes me down a road and I end up, it's sin for me. Does that make sense? And there are certain things that, you know, I love Lucy reruns. And somebody will go, oh, you don't watch that. I love them, right? Yeah, it just depends on what you're looking at. It just depends on where you're at. And so there are some things that, you know, will fall in a category where, you know, you get into Romans chapter 14, you know, where one person looks at something one way. He looks at one day as a day that, wow, we're to praise the Lord for that. And then the other person says, well, all the days I look at that way. So where there's a little bit of a difference on how we look at things. It kind of comes into play with Romans chapter 14. So there are some things that fall into that category. Just make sure that you're looking unto the Lord for wisdom as far as where you're at and in your walk with Him. But when we see that, you know, again, something is wrong, then God is looking to us to make right decisions. When we see that, no, Lord, this is not something that I should do. This is not something where I want to go. You remember how when Peter got that vision, I think it was in Acts chapter 10 or so, it was in regard to witnessing to Cornelius, and the Lord gave him a vision, and in that sheet that was let down from heaven, there was all kinds of abominable creatures that the Jew is not supposed to have any part of. And, you know, the vision was, as the Lord said to him, Peter, take and eat. And Peter said, no, I've never done any of that, you know, because obviously that was wrong for the Jew. But the Lord was trying to teach him, listen, I'm trying to teach you the lesson that all things are good, that even Gentiles need to hear the gospel. That was the bottom line with all of that. And so the Lord gave direction in regard to that. It's just good for us to take a look at something and say, Lord, is what I'm about to look at, is what I'm about to do, I'm not 100% sure, is it pleasing unto you? And that's just a good way for us to proceed forth, because if we'll put it into His hands, I think that's honoring unto the Lord. And the Lord will give us discernment that way. Now, if we don't have any, you know, we have no care or concern about what the Lord thinks, well, then we're just going to blaze our own trail and do the things that we want to do. But it's good for us not to go down that road. It's good for us just to stop and say, Lord, help me. I want to do things that honor you. And will you help me in these decisions that I have to make? James chapter 4 and verse 17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so there are some things that, folks, we need to be careful about, you know, the appearance of things, abstaining from all appearance of evil. Someone once said, listen, if you go into your neighbor's yard, just make sure not to stoop down and tie your shoes in his watermelon patch. Okay? All right? You know, there are just things that just don't look right. And may we be guarded with that. May we learn how to be be considerate of one another, you know, about maybe some of the things that maybe we think that we would do, and we don't give consideration to our brother in thinking, oh, you know what, maybe this habit I have is not something that's going to uplift my brother, you know. And it might not even be a grossly sinful thing, but it might just be something that you just go, nah, you know what, I need to refrain from that. Because it just might be a stumbling stone, a rock of offense to my brother. So it's just good for us to be able to have that kind of consideration for one another. And so the idea being here is, again, abstain from all appearance of evil. And then really, there's not much to have to say when you get to verse 23, because verse 23 really is the outcome, and that's that last point. It's the blessed outcome of all of this on this outline sheet. And that's verse 23, that when we've done these things and we pursue after these things from verse, again, really from verse 11, but now I went from verse 14 to verse 22, but all the way from verse 11 all the way through 22, as we seek to do these things, then we're going to become, as Ephesians chapter 4 says, we're going to become mature, and after the stature of Christ, we're going to become perfect in the sense of mature, and that's what we want. And so verse 23 says, and the very God of peace, if we do these things that we read, I'll just read through this list and then just finish up with 23. Now we exhort you, brethren, in verse 14, warn them that are unruly. That's something that the Lord wants us to do. I think probably really in regard to, well, I mean, it could be in our home. It could be here in the church. There are things that the Lord wants to be orderly, and he doesn't want unruliness. So he doesn't want something to just be allowed to happen. We need to do it in a proper way. And then warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded and support the weak. Help those who are struggling. Help those who have some handicaps. Help those who maybe are not once at the level that, or they're not at the level that they once were. And be an encouragement to them. God loves that when we help the weak. And then be patient toward all men. That's not an easy thing, but as we look unto the Lord, he can give us patience to work with somebody. And you know what? As we yield to the Lord and we begin to help somebody out and we begin to show forth patience, it's amazing. You'll look to yourself and you'll go, I'm just amazed at the patience that's coming out of me. I've never had this before. And then you know it's the Lord doing it. The Lord is giving you patience to deal with situations that you just would have pulled your hair out before. But you have patience, and the Lord will give it to you and I. And then not to render evil for evil unto any man, as verse 15 says. And then verse 16, 17, and 18, again, to rejoice evermore. That's a challenge, but to just praise the Lord. Thank you. I want to rejoice at everything that comes in my life. Pray without ceasing. Make that an effort to try to just be constantly talking to the Lord. And then always be thankful. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now think, this is the kind of an individual you'd like to be around all the time, right? Somebody that's trying to do this. What a blessing that would be. What about us trying to be this individual? To just try to be a blessing. Quench not the Spirit. And again, there's a whole list of things that we can do that can quench the Spirit of God in our life. Despise not prophesying. Welcome preaching and the teaching of the Word of God as it speaks to us and reveals some things about us that we don't always like, but we know it's for the best. And then, as we read tonight, prove all things. Test all things. Lord, give me wisdom and discernment that everything I look at, every decision I make, the things that I think about, the things I allow into my home, the things that I allow my children to watch, help me to prove all the things so that it's pleasing and fitting unto you. And then hold fast that which is good. The good things, I'm going to hold on to those things. Those are the things that I want. Those are the things we're going to have in our home. Those are the things that we need to to showcase or to show forth in our life, because those are the things that are pleasing. And then to abstain from all appearance of evil, something that you just go, oh, that's just not even good to be there. Yeah, I'm not going to go, I got two buddies and they want to go to Bubba's Bar and Grill and go and have a couple brewskis. Yeah, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to witness to them. That's just not a good idea. Okay, that's abstain from all appearance of evil. That's not a good place to go to witness. Witness to them in a better place. And then what does it say? When we do this, the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. That means completely. He'll be able to sanctify. That's the work that the Spirit of God does in our life that makes us more holy, more set aside, more yielded to the things of the Lord, more like Christ. And then Paul says in his prayer to them, as I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's just a great list of things here that would be God's formula for experiencing his fullest blessing. And might we just yield to that and allow God to make us all that we can be? Amen. Isn't that what the Army motto is, trying to be all that you can be or something like that? Well, listen, we want to be all that we can be for Christ. And the way that we're going to do that is just yield to him, follow these things, and God will be able to work in each and every one of our hearts. With that, let's go ahead. We'll go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight, and we're so grateful to you. Thank you that you've laid out so many things so clearly in your word. Lord, help us to be more mindful of your word. Help us to study it. Help us to embrace it. And Lord, certainly we want to obey it and allow you to work inside of our hearts. Lord, we don't want to obey it mechanically or routinely, but help us to do it with all of our hearts. Help us to just simply be yielded unto you and allow you to work and reveal things in our lives that are not pleasing unto you so that we can do the things that are pleasing unto you. So I pray that every one of us would just open up just be open to you and allow you to work in each and every one of our hearts. Lord, I thank you for those that are here. Help us, Lord, as we go forward to be a blessing one to another. And more than anything, that we would honor the name of Christ, that we would glorify him. So we thank you once again, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.